Wow. It is great to be with you today. I feel like the words of the Apostle Paul, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Church, I love you. I appreciate you. I'm so thankful for all of those who are a part of this congregation, a part of this forever family. Another great crowd today. Great crowd for over 200 in Sunday school again. Great things are happening here. So many things are going on. Even today after our services, there'll be discipleship groups meeting. Remember, we'll come back together on Tuesday night. Of course, we have the Thanksgiving holiday. Then it's going to turn into a very busy month for us in December. And one of those things that you need to be aware of, especially if you have children, loved ones, neighbors, what have you, it's going to be our Grinchmas, and that's going to be, Taylor said, on December 14th. That'll be at 5 o'clock. And so please make plans and put that on your calendars or whatever it may be so that we can all be a part of that together. Again, church, thank you for who you are. What a blessing it is to be able to be a part of this forever family here at Azalea City. You know, we've been spending all of our Sundays this year, especially in our sermon time, talking about the subject of gratitude. Being thankful for God's gift. Being thankful for what He's done for us. It's not just something we should do, though, one month a year. Remember, we've learned in Scripture that it's the way God created us. It's His will for our lives. To give thanks to Christ Jesus, our Lord. All things were made through Him and by Him and for Him. And it is our duty to use those things to be able to bring glory and honor to Your name. Can you put the slides up, brother? Okay. There it is. Thank you. So today I want to talk about a quiet strength. That quiet strength of all Christians should be being grateful. The reason I say it's a strength is because it's God's will. What God has instilled in us is a reason to be thankful, a will to be thankful. And once we plug into God, we have His strength. This is a strength that doesn't speak loudly. It's not showy, it's not flashy, it's certainly not boastful. But being thankful to God, it helps us be steady. It helps us when life tries to shake us, be unshaken and to be firmly grounded. But the Apostle Paul, as you see on the screen, he teaches us something of a secret. He teaches us about this secret that becomes public. I'm going to stay here for a second. He teaches us about the importance of contentment. Paul teaches us this in one of the most surprising places of all, from a Roman prison cell. Think about that. Can you imagine being thankful because you've been arrested, because you have taught in the name of Jesus Christ? What if today they came and they arrested us, and several days in, we're in a cold, dark prison cell, not knowing where our next meal's going to come from, not knowing if it's the day they're going to come and behead us? Would we find contentment? You see, it's in those dark and lonely conditions that Paul teaches us this great secret. This secret of the importance of being content. You see, this secret that Paul has taught is not just for people that are spiritually elite. In other words, for the faithful of the faithfuls. It's not some secret that those who only have perfect circumstances could understand. But He reveals this to us, and He reveals it to every believer. And that's the secret of contentment. The doorway to this secret, the doorway to finding contentment in life, is what we just sang. Gratitude. Look at the Scripture with me together. It's Philippians 4. Stoney read to us in the long Scripture from 10 through 20, and I appreciate his excellent reading of that. Let's look at verses 10 through 13 now together. Paul writes there, I rejoice in the Lord, how? Greatly. Remember, he's in a prison cell. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Today, coming into this lesson, it has been my prayer that if we haven't already, that we all learn Paul's revealed secret. And that when we find that contentment, we will share it with so many that are around us. But you see, it's really hard. It's really hard to understand. It's really hard to know. It's really hard in today's society to find contentment. I believe it's always been hard. I believe it's always been, hey, let's keep up with the person next door, the person down the street. But I think with the social media world we live in, where we see what people have, we don't have, I believe it's exasperated that. It's really expounded upon that, right? That, hey, so-and-so's been to Disney 18 times this year, I'm going 19. So-and-so got a big old boat, I'm going to get a bigger one. So-and-so went on this trip, I'm going on two of them. You know, that's the mindset, and that's how we get ill-content. We get restless. We have so much information coming to us all at one time that we do not know how to handle it. It's so much information in, it makes us nervous, it makes us anxious, and we forget to be still and know that He is God, and we forget that contentment. Paul found contentment not in things. He found it in Christ. So in order to understand and appreciate and learn contentment, we've got to understand a few things that I believe Paul's life teaches us here. The first one is this. You want to know the secret of contentment? Contentment is learned. It's not natural. If you look back at verse 11 of Philippians 4 there, Paul writes, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Contentment, something we're born with. Think about it. Babies aren't content. I mean, when they're content, you're like, what's wrong with them, right? When they're not moving, when they're not needing something, we're not born with that state of contentment. From a very early age, a baby cries, we give it to them. A baby feels like they're uncomfortable, we do find out what's going on with them, right? We run and we take them to the doctor, and rightfully so. But then it comes a point in time when we've given them everything, they've made noises, and we've put something in their hands, in their mouths, changed their diapers, done all these things, and then when we finally start saying no, what happens? They get attitudes. They call that the terrible twos. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's 18, right? But you understand the point. That's what happened. We've given them everything they wanted, and now we're saying no. Because they understand a little better, and we're teaching them, and they're fighting back. They don't know, they don't get this. Well, in life, that's how we are.
we can have anything in America that we want. Think about it. It's the richest country in the world. Think of the things that we have at our fingertips. But sometimes it's not enough, right? Because those things leave us empty. Things leave us empty. And so if we're not born with the natural act of being content, somewhere along the way, we've got to learn it. Paul said, I have learned. Well, where do you learn it? You see, this is a different kind of classroom. This isn't the classroom we're used to when we grew up. This is God's classroom. And how do we learn in God's classroom something He wants to teach us? Sometimes we learn it through delayed answers. I do not believe prayers go unanswered. I do not think a Christian's prayer goes unanswered. In fact, I think He answers them all. Sometimes He answers them yes. Sometimes He certainly answers them no. And then sometimes He answers them not right now. And it's in those delayed answers that we get fidgety, right? A child sitting too long gets nervous, they get bored, they get restless. And so what do we have to say? Hey, Terry's almost done. He's only got 22 more points, right? Whatever. Anyhow, the point is, here's another something else. Here's my phone. Here's whatever. And adults, I see you do it too. So anyhow, the point is, we get restless though. In those delayed answers is where God is teaching us find contentment. Sometimes it's difficult seasons. Remember Solomon. Man, think about what Solomon had. He had everything. You think you, again, I know we've got technologies come a long way, but you think you've got a lot of money? Maybe you don't. Most of us are saying, no, I don't have a lot of money. But you think somebody has a lot of money? Solomon could have been a trillionaire if you take the cost of gold today and calculate it to his time. But you know what he said? In all those seasons, there's a season for this, there's a season for that, there's a season for everything. He was empty because he wasn't content in God. Not yet. He got there, I believe. But it's in those different seasons that we experience that God is teaching us, trust me, be thankful, you'll find contentment. It's in unexpected challenges. It's in closed doors. It's in waiting rooms. It's in disappointments. That's God's classroom. That's when He teaches us the most. Life teaches us, hey, go get it, right? Go get it's yours. But gratitude transforms us. Paul learned contentment. You know where he learned them? In beatings. Paul learned contentment. You know where he learned them? In shipwrecks. He learned them in sleepless nights. He learned them in hunger, in nakedness, in betrayal, and yes, in prison. But Paul learned contentment most deeply when he chose to thank God, even when life wasn't good. Contentment is never going to be discovered in comfort. Oh, you'll be content for a little while, but then you'll grow tired of that. Just like that child who wants that new toy that couldn't wait, that they would do anything, they'd give anything to have this, a few hours, days, weeks, months later, they want the new toy. You see, contentment isn't discovered in comfort. It's developed through gratitude. Paul is writing from prison, but if you know the book of Philippians, he's not writing a negative book. He's writing a positive book that is overflowing with joy. He's not complaining. He's not bitter. He's not asking, why me? Instead, he's saying, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. You see, when gratitude fills our hearts, that's when contentment takes root. That's why gratitude can't just be 1 month a year. Every single day. Every single hour. Every single moment in our lives as Christians, we must be thankful. It's the will of God through Christ Jesus in us. Yes, contentment is learned. It's not natural, but we also need to know that contentment is independent of circumstance. This is a big one. If you look back at verse 12 of Philippians 4, Paul writes there, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. You see, our culture that we live in, it teaches that contentment is going to be based on conditions. Oh, if I can just get this, God, I will be satisfied. I'll be content. I'll be so thankful if I can just have this new, shiny, whatever. Oh, if life would allow me to do this, I'll be content. Oh, if those people in my life would only allow me this. You see, that's what culture teaches. You'll find contentment when life is just right on the conditions that you live in. But that's not what Paul wrote. Paul wrote this. In so many words, he says, I've been on top. And I've been on the bottom. And I learned to be content in both. And that's the question I have to ask myself today. Whether I'm on top, whether I'm in the bottom, or whether I'm somewhere in between, have I learned to be content? Contentment is not about what we have. It's about who we have. Paul is teaching us here that when I had more than enough, I thanked God. But he's also saying when I didn't have anything, I still thanked God. Can we do that? Is that where we are? It's my prayer that we are there. But it's something we have to work. It's something we have to practice. It's something we have to learn. Abased or abounding, full or hungry, suffering or rejoicing, gratitude doesn't depend on circumstances. Again, Paul's secret that he's revealing to us here, he's saying to the church at Philippi and to us today, I didn't let circumstances dictate my gratitude. He let his gratitude dictate his circumstances. Think of how much different life would be if whatever life threw at us, we did it through the eyes of being thankful to God. Bad health, and listen, that's a tough one. God, I'm thankful that I still have an opportunity. I'm still thankful that I've had this much of an opportunity here. I'm so thankful that I had these moments, these memories. Low money, low income, no income. I'm so thankful that I still can trust that you're going to provide my food, clothing, and shelter. See, we could go on, and that's hard. Again, it's a lot easier when things are up here, right? When we're up here, it's a lot, I'm thankful for all this and all that. What about down here? I'm not asking you to make a judgment, but I'm asking you to remember some things that you've probably observed. You probably know of people that have everything they could want because they have so much money, they could just go and get it. Those people still want more. But then there are those who have almost nothing. They can't go get new clothes or new shoes, or they're on fixed incomes and barely getting by at that. But they overflow with joy. See, the difference isn't the stuff. It's the spirit. It's the attitude. It's contentment. Thirdly, this morning, this is a big one now. Contentment is possible only through Christ. There are some things in life that just aren't possible without Christ. Salvation being the number one. Joy is not possible without Christ. Peace is not possible without Christ. Now, there are going to be times that we have some type of joy, some type of happiness, we'll say. And there's going to be some times in life that we can find some peace. But true joy and true peace, it's not possible without Christ. The same can be said about contentment. Paul wrote, John 3:16, as Johnny pointed out, you know, the most famous verse. I guess if you're going to do the old survey says, right up here by, it's going to be Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. ESV says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Justin is probably with Callan, I think. But Justin can echo this story when he and Ashley, on 9/10/11, they got married, by the way. I remember that anniversary. But before 9/10/11, I was going to have the privilege to perform their wedding together. And Justin had those who were going to be in the wedding, performing the wedding, and out, you know, at the Mays home, and we fished that day, we shot some skeet that day, and everything else. Bo was with me that day, and he's a little fella, in 2011, that's really been a long time ago, 2011, thinking of the pistol, right? 2011, Bo was really a little fella, and there was a tree. That tree is still there, I imagine, right by the pond. It's a huge tree. I think it used to have a swing or something in it, Steve. Or a tire swing or something, Jeff, right? Well, we look up at that tree, and Bo says, Daddy, can you climb that tree? I said, no, buddy, I can't climb that tree. He said, but Daddy, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. I wanted to tell Justin I finally have the answer to give back to him. 14 years later, I figured it out. Philippians 4:13 is not about climbing trees. I love the verse, and I want you to use it however you want. But if you look at it in the context, it's not about winning football games. It's not about getting a new PR in the weight room. It's not about, oh, I didn't study a lick on that biology test, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God, put it in my brain. That's not it. It's not about achieving business goals. Paul is not saying, I can do anything I want because I have the strength of Christ. If you look at the context, he's saying, I can endure anything life brings because Christ strengthens me. This verse is not about achievement. It's about contentment. Gratitude gives us spiritual strength because it roots us in Christ instead of circumstances. Paul's not saying I can do all things because I'm strong physically. He's not saying I can do all things because I'm so talented. He's not saying I can do all things because my situation is good. He's saying I can do it and I can endure it because Jesus Christ gives me strength. Christ is the anchor. Christ is the power source. Christ is the reason a believer can be stable even when life is unstable. When Christ is enough, What else do we need? Finally, this morning, gratitude is the fuel of contentment. Here's the whole heart of the sermon. You listened all this time to please get this point right here. We cannot be grateful and discontent at the same time. Can't do it. Because gratitude kills discontent. But discontent can kill gratitude. You see, gratitude shifts our focus. It should reframe our thinking. It should rewrite our attitude. And it should renew our joy. Gratitude says, Lord, thank you for what you've done. Gratitude says, Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Gratitude says, Lord, thank you for what you will do. When our heart stays full of thanksgiving, contentment flows naturally. That's why it's so important to remember the things we talked about today. It's something we got to learn. Gratitude is got to be rooted in Christ. Gratitude has got to be contentment has got to be rooted in Christ. Gratitude's got to be the fuel of contentment. If we do not do that, we're going to struggle with being content. Even though we walk as we say in Christ. I don't know that we're really doing it right. In fact, I would venture to say I can prove that we're not. If I'm not living in contentment through Christ, something's out of kilter. Well, I'm trying to put Christ first, but I'm not content. Well, maybe I don't have enough gratitude. Something's not right, and that's why I need to examine myself. So here's what I'm going to do as we get ready to close. I want to make some application and then some challenges, okay? We'll go ahead and get that off the screen. I'm going to make some application here and some challenges. I'm going to leave you with that. If something's not right in your life spiritually, with gratitude, with Christ, with your walk, with contentment, with all of it, think of these things. First of all, gratitude transforms our mindset. Instead of focusing on what's wrong all the time, we'll start seeing what's right. Gratitude will transform our relationships. You know, it's hard to stay angry at someone you're praying for. Gratitude smooths rough edges. Gratitude will transform our worship. Worship, when I understand true gratitude, stops being a duty and becomes a delight. Gratitude transforms our circumstances. It won't always change the situation. We can't help that. Jesus said life's going to throw trouble at us. But gratitude will transform our circumstance. Because it will always change us. And the number five here, gratitude transforms our faith. Thankfulness strengthens trust, even when we don't understand why. That's a question a lot of people ask, why? Why this? Why God? Why this? Why did this happen? What's going on? Sometimes I don't know the answer to it, but I know that if I have enough gratitude, it'll get me through those whys. So how do we practice it? I'm going to give you five things. Number one, simple. Start and end each day with three thank yous. That's simple. It's practical. But if you do it every day, it will be life-changing. Secondly, turn complaints into praise. I do not preach sermons. I don't need to hear. This one's got me written all over it. It's easy to complain. Oh, it's November and it's 80 degrees today. It's hot, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's easy to complain. It's easy to complain about a person. It's easy to complain about me. Easy to complain about elders. Easy to complain about church members. Easy to complain about your balls. Easy to complain about everything. But every time we start to complain, pause. And instead of saying it, thank God for something instead. Number three, tell someone today why you're grateful for them. It could be a text, it could be a call, it could be a handwritten note. But tell somebody today, I'm thankful for you. I say this one all the time, pray with thanksgiving first. In other words, before asking God for anything, thank Him for everything. And then number five, keep a gratitude list. Whether that's in your phone, it's on a piece of paper, somewhere, keep a list. And when those days are hard, and when those seasons come at you, and when life is throwing lemons, allow our Jesus to make lemonade. Pull out that gratitude list and read it. Paul discovered a secret. But he didn't discover that secret in comfort. He discovered it in chains. He didn't discover the secret to contentment from abundance. He discovered it from hunger. He didn't discover the secret to contentment from perfect conditions. He did it from a prison cell. So here's the lesson. Contentment isn't going to be found when life gets better. Contentment is found when our gratitude gets deeper. If Paul could say, I have learned to be content from a prison, then through Christ from where we sit, we can too. And when you learn that, we can all say with confidence, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Today my question is very simple. Do you have Him? Does He have you? Have you given your life to Christ? Paul could say,